I need to apologize in advance because I'm a little nasal today.
Well, I was worried I was going to be, but I'm feeling better.
Did you have this?
I had like...
The crud?
No, it started on Sunday during the marathon. And I thought it was just because I was outside and it was like a little chilly.
A little nippy.
And then when I got back to my hotel that night, it was like green sludge.
Oh, wow. Very descriptive. Thank you.
Green sludge. Real pretty. Sexy.
Green sludge coming out your nose, I hope.
Well, I was coughing it up, really.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I seemed to have like... It turned a corner that night.
I'm really glad you weren't making out with anyone.
I know. Me too. I was too
tired. Been really awkward. Yeah. Talk about an act casual moment. Wow. So we are here, though. You mentioned the marathon. Yeah. And we're here because you just completed the New York City Marathon.
I did for the second year in a row.
That is, I mean, honestly, there I would get proud of you for a lot of things. But that is one of the coolest things I think anyone can do. And it's just amazing to me that you've completed it twice.
Yeah. I mean, I had to raise money this year and I put on my thing, like the only thing crazier than me running the marathon last year is me doing it again this year.
Yeah. And because you knew what you were getting into.
I knew what I was getting into. I'm a year older.
Yeah.
I also thought I was going to be able to get out of it at the last minute and then found out I couldn't. So I didn't train as well as I'd hoped. Yeah.
So a year older, not the wiser.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But I mean, yeah, I do it for me, really. I mean, this time I had to raise money, so it was like,
what do you mean
awesome.
You had to raise money? I don't understand.
So there's only a few ways to get into the New York City Marathon. One, you can qualify by running other marathons. I don't know what they are.
It's like if Boston you win other ones?
I don't think you have to win, but I think you have to like show that you're an elite runner of some sort. Okay. I don't know what the parameters really are. So you qualify, you can get in through the lottery, which is what happened for me last year. And then all you do is like you're randomly picked and you pay the entry fee of like, it's like $250 or something like that. And then you go do the marathon. This year I had to sign up through a charity.
Okay.
Which is the third way that you can do it. So I raised money for the SPCA. So I had to raise $3,500 and that covered my entry fee. And then everything above the entry fee goes to the SPCA.
Did I pay you for this? I don't feel like I donated. I don't think you even asked me. I feel terrible now.
It's fine. I met my goal, so
thank
I'm
God.
Good. I mean, look, people can still donate if they want, but
to your cause.
Yeah, write a check to Chip Dorf.
He's just raising money for life.
I mean, it was funny. I was thinking about it. I actually spent a decent amount of money just doing it, and I think I had friends that have run marathons like. In Hawaii, it's like they do destination ones. And a lot of times within the money that you raise pays for your trip too.
Oh,
like
right.
I paid for my flight. I paid for my hotel. I paid for my Ubers. Oh, I have really bad luck with ride shares.
As we know from the second episode.
My Uber driver yesterday on the way to the airport hit a guy on a bike.
No.
Yes, didn't kill him. Knocked
him
off.
Did we need
though.
To call Bart Durham again?
I mean, that guy might want to. But I will say, as a witness... It was the bike driver's fault. He ran a red light. So
okay. Well,
he's lucky he's not dead. So
no shit.
We digress. Yeah. So a lot of times the trip is paid for by the money that you raise, but it wasn't for this. So.
Well, the cool thing about all of this, though, and what you and I were kind of talking about before this is you wouldn't necessarily refer to yourself as a runner.
No,
would
I mean,
you?
In fact, I hate running.
And I hate running. Like, there's literally nothing worse to me.
Yeah, it's. It's monotonous.
It hurts.
I can't breathe. I mean, I also have asthma. I'm not the picture. You guys, I know this is just the radio airwaves, but I am not the picture
it's
of
It's actually not even the
it's
radio
not even,
airwaves.
It's the podcast.
It's a podcast.
Mm-hmm. So whatever. But I'm not the picture of health. And it's like I could stand to lose a few pounds, which would help me with my running. But I do it because... it gives me some time to like break free from everything.
Yeah.
Like I can turn my phone off and I just go. And now that I've like done it, it's like, I find a speed with which like I can just go I can do like 8 or 9 miles before I'm like, okay, I'm done with this.
Jesus.
But like a 3 to 5 mile run is like, that's fairly easy. And I could do that before work if I want to. So
isn't it such an interesting thing what our minds are in control of though?
I mean,
because
it is all mine.
What a mental game. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say with running, it's especially like, I don't even want to try for this because I'm like already starting. I can't do it.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, and we've talked about this a little bit in the past. Like or before we started recording, you know, for me, it was totally about like teaching myself that I could sort of overcome anything and do something that was seemed really out of my grasp.
Right.
And, you know, it, when in telling people that I'm doing it, I hear when they're like, oh my God, you're running a marathon. And I hear it as like, you're running a marathon?
Like specific to you.
To me.
Yeah.
And that's because that's what my mind tells me about myself. Like, I can't believe I'm running a marathon.
That's the tape in your head. So that's how I hear it.
But what they're really saying is like, you're running a marathon? Like,
right.
That is insane.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, it really is. I looked at my steps today. I did like 57,000 steps.
Jesus.
On Sunday. I mean, it is, it's, I mean, it took me 6 hours and 18 minutes. And to put that in perspective, you know, look, these people, that these elite runners, that the guy who won it did it in what, 2 hours and 8 minutes, something crazy like that. They are bust. They get to sleep later. The race starts at 11.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I started at 11. I think the like handicap, the people in wheelchairs start at like 8:30, and then the elite women start at like 9, and the elite men start at 9:30. And it just,
why did
it
you start waves. At 11?
Because they had, there's so many, there's like 53,000 people that did it this year. So they do it in waves. So that,
okay.
And you really, your race doesn't start until you cross the start line. It's all like digital. And so anyway, the people in wheelchairs were done before I started, which is crazy. Like they did it in less than 2 hours, but then,
what?
Well, you think about the downhills, they really have an advantage at a downhill,
true.
But I mean, these elite runners, they get bussed in right before their start time. They do the race in 2 hours and 8 minutes, and they're home with their feet up before I've ever started. I've barely started. And for me, I woke up at 5 a.m., was on the bus to the race at 6 a.m., was there at 7. It's cold out. I had to sit around for 4 hours to wait for me to go. And
you
then
had
I had to
green
run.
Sludge and going down your
green
throat.
Green sludge. That hadn't started yet. And then I had to run for 6 hours and 18 minutes.
Jesus.
And the cruelest part is when you finish the race, you have to walk like another mile in Central Park just to get out. I'm like, please send an ambulance. Oh my, like,
are your legs by the end of it just
jelly,
dead?
Jelly.
What are some of the, okay, like, because obviously this is our At Casual episode. Yeah. So let's talk through some of the things you told me that you did, because I actually find these to be very At Casual moments.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I'm already vulnerable because I'm walking around. So a friend of mine ran it with me. He lives in New York and he is much more in shape than I am. And I kept in the morning just being like, well, I'm going to beat that person. I see another person I'm going to beat. Like, at least I know I'm not coming in last. So like I'm already vulnerable because it's like you're surrounded by all these like incredibly fit, like
sure.
good looking people that like running clothes are designed to hang on them like a hanger. And I'm like, I had to like up a size because I didn't lose the weight I'd hoped to for my running shirt. And so it's like I'm in a vulnerable space. And then you start thinking about all the like little things that like make you even more vulnerable. Like what happens if I have to poop? You know, like it slows you down.
Well, couldn't you go before? I guess if you got up so
well,
early, like
if
I mean, my morning routine gets thrown, I'm so fucked in that area.
Well, I mean, I like drank a bunch of coffee to try and like make everything happen.
Right.
But you're also like, there's nerves that you're not expecting, like excitement that you're not expecting. I mean, this is a trick that goes back to my grandmother. Like I take Imodium.
What do you mean?
I'll just take Imodium to clog myself up to
Does
ensure that
your grandmother
that I do...
used to clog herself up?
Well, this is actually funny. Well, I think it was at a Christmas like celebration.
I don't
once.
Know where this is going. I'm apologizing for us.
It was at a Christmas and my sister lived in like South Carolina. I forget where she was living. She was either in Myrtle Beach or in Georgia at the time. I was living in New York. My grandmother was living in Virginia and we were all home together and somehow it came up. One of us admitted to like everyone we travel, we take Imodium so we don't have to poop on public toilets.
Oh, got it.
And my sister had a long drive and she was like, I take Imodium too. And then my grandmother was like, oh, I've been doing that for years every time I travel.
Like
so it was
trick.
Like this thing that we all do just to clog ourselves up because we don't like to use public.
I would restrooms. Be afraid I would get clogged for days.
I mean, that's never, thank God, knock on wood. What's this desk made out of?
Wood.
Okay.
So you took Imodium
you
as
take
one
Imodium,
of the things.
Clog yourselves up.
And, no poop.
Luckily, I didn't have to poop.
That's
but
great.
But there are people that like poop their pants.
What?
Like the elite runners will poop their pants because they don't want to get slowed down. They don't. It affects your time when you pull over to poop.
My eyes are crossing right now. Like, can you imagine running down the street with shit in your pants?
Well, sometimes talk it runs down your leg.
Talk about sludge. Ew,
talk about acting cat. There's nothing casual about poop on your leg.
How do you keep I mean, that would, I mean, I wonder, you know that how runner shorts have those little underwear in them? Are you pulling that to the side? Trying to let it fly out?
I don't know.
That is so disgusting. So gross. Okay, what else is there? I think you mentioned nipple chafing.
Yeah. You can, I mean, especially on a chilly day, you know,
it's yeah,
the material that these like sweat wicking shirts are made out of can be really chafing too.
Oh.
And so, I mean, they have people passing out Vaseline. Damn. I found these things called nip strips.
What are these?
They're like little silicone, like clear stickers that you just put on your nipples. And if your nipple gets hard, it's like pressing against a sticker and not rubbing against your shirt. I mean, it is a lifesaver, because I've had it happen where I'll forget to put them on like a training run, and you're like 7 miles in, your nipples hurt, and you still have to get home, you know?
It's well,
like,
right.
And then so I'm running, like holding my shirt. Y'all can't see me doing this, but I'm like, you know, pulling my shirt at my nipples. Like, you're running, holding your shirt away from your nipples because your nipples hurt too much. And like, eventually they'll start bleeding. Like, I definitely saw people with like bloody, like nipple areas.
I'm going to tell you something I've never thought about before, and that's nipple chafing.
Yeah.
Like, never crossed my mind. Obviously, I've never run that many miles in a row.
Yeah.
What is it? 26.2. Damn. So nipple chafing
and then everywhere else chafing. And they make this stuff called Body Glide.
Sounds which sexual.
It looks like, I mean, you could probably use it in sexual ways if you wanted, but it looks like it's sort of like a deodorant stick, and
yeah,
you rub it, and it's, I don't know what it's made of, but it's to let your body sort of glide against to prevent chafing. But you know, 26.2 miles.
You're going
to
chafe.
I'd carry some with me so I could reapply if I needed it.
Wow.
You had a little belt with supplies. I had Imodium just in case. I had wipes just in case.
Wipes?
Yeah, because you go into those things and there's no toilet paper. Could you imagine if you shit and didn't have toilet paper? Oh,
so you do stop to pee and stuff?
Yeah, I stopped to pee.
Okay.
Let's see. What else did I have with me? My phone charger.
Naturally.
Yeah, because what have, like, if
you got to document.
Yeah, you have to document. And I was listening to stuff too, so if my phone died, you know, thankfully the phone batteries last more than 6 hours, but I had to charge it before I left because I'd been sitting out in the cold for four
right,
hours.
Right, of course.
So I had some of those things. And you do get a bag check too, so I was able to check clothes. So if I didn't want to carry my charger and I'd charged it all up, I could have put it in there, but I'd, you know, I'm one of those people that's so addicted to my phone that if it gets down less than 50%, I feel like I need to charge it. But what are some other, I mean, look, it's there's things that I'd like as a guy, I don't have to prepare. Like, what if you're a woman on your period?
Ugh, that'd be,
you know,
awful.
I mean, like, what do you do?
I mean, you would, you know what I use? This is disgusting. I can't believe I was about to say this.
So I wonder if they give you tampons there.
Probably. But when I was in high school, I had a very heavy flow. And I played basketball. Our uniforms were white. So like, there would be moments in the games, if I was on my period, that I was like, oh my God, what if you're running down the court and you're bleeding in your white uniform? Like, how embarrassing would that be? Everybody's looking at you. You're like out there for the rest of the game, you know? So you said double up on tampons.
Wow.
Two tampons at a time.
I mean, that's the
during
kind of
games.
Shit that like, you literally do not survive high school if that happens to you.
Oh my God. I can't imagine anything more mortifying. I'm sure there is something, but like, to me, that was such a fear because, you know, sometimes it would happen in practice because you're just so active.
Right.
So.
Right. And you don't feel it.
I mean, how many listeners are we losing talking about green sludge and period blood?
Hey, you guys, this is Act Casual, and it's like, we're going to talk about these things.
It's just some real shit, unless you take Imodium.
Right. Right.
So I think it's like so interesting because you have all these tricks, all these things you learn. And like, we just talked about the mental game, and that's the biggest point. Like, you did not necessarily know if this was something you could do.
Right.
And here you are, you just completed your second one.
Yeah. Well, it's technically my third, my second New York, but the first one was like 10 years ago, 11 years ago. But the, you know, this one was funny too, because I knew what I was getting into. So I knew what to anticipate. So like my nerves were a little different. What I was most nervous about this time was like, had I actually prepared enough? Am I going to be able to finish it? And that would have been really embarrassing because I'd raised money too. Like, so I was like, I can't let these people down. I'm doing it for another cause. And it was funny. I had sort of a magical thing happen toward the end. So you finish the last like maybe 3 miles or so, or you enter into Central Park and you're running, and it's like a really like sort of beautiful backdrop.
Right.
And there are people cheering along the way, you know, for most of the marathon. And there are people in the park. And there was this like very buttoned up woman, like sort of walking against the direction that the marathon was going in. And she was by herself. She didn't really appear to be there to be cheering people on. It just sort of seemed like it was on her way. And she made eye contact with me, and I had my name, Chip, on my shirt. And she was like, "You've got this, Chip. Keep going," or something like that. And at that point, I'm like, I was about to cross the 25th mile marker. So I had a mile point two left, and I was done. Like my body was cramping. I thought my legs were going to give out. I was exhausted. I just wanted to be done. And it just hit me. And I was like, you have your entire life to walk. Run the next 1.2 miles. And like, that will make you feel accomplished for this thing. So I was like, fuck it. I don't care what kind of cramp comes. I'm just going to run through it. And I did. I ran every step of the next 1.2 miles. And then you have to walk that fucking mile to get out of the park. And I was going to the subway. There's a, like, right when you exit the park on 84, I think it's 81st Street. There's a subway stop right there. And I was going to go meet my friends for some beers and burgers. And I saw that woman again.
Did you tell her?
Yes. And I was like, and I said to her, I go, I saw you and I heard what you said, and it made me run that last mile point two without taking a step. And she just said, wow. And then I went onto the subway and I'm like, was she really there?
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, you think you just made her up?
Was she just like a ghost that like I needed in that moment? Like, what are the chances I would have seen? She was on the other side of the park.
Wow. Was there a moment where you did want to quit?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm really bad at uphills because I get shin splints, so I have to walk. And the Queensboro Bridge is like between mile 15 and 16. I think you cross 15 while you're on the bridge, and it's a really long bridge, and a lot of it's uphill, and it's a quick downhill. And there's nobody on the bridge cheering you, so you're really just by yourself and with all the people that are around you. And a lot of them, you know, 15 miles into a race.
Right.
And the people that, you know, are at my pace group are not elite athletes. A lot of them are walking at that point, or, you know, doing the walk run thing, and they're old, and you're like, is this person going to die in front of me? I saw a dude with a thing on the back of his shirt that said it was his 56th consecutive finish.
Damn.
It's crazy.
56.
And then he could look like he could barely stand up straight.
Right.
I saw people with one leg missing, you know, running on, I don't know what they're called, the like, that's what Olympic runners have, the like a blade,
yeah,
like a prosthetic blade.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so inspiring. But yeah, so that uphill is like, I'm like, can I just get on the subway and go home? But then you think about all the people that are tracking you on the app, and your friends that have donated, and like, and it's honestly, it wasn't ever really about making anyone proud but me, you know? So in those moments, you're just like, fuck all this bullshit.
Right.
I'm going to keep doing it. And it's just like 1 mile at a time.
One
and
the
next thing you
other.
Know, you're closer to the finish than you are from the start. And it's just like, wait, I only have 4 miles left. I only have 3 miles left. It's pretty cruel. There's like I think between like 23 and 24 is like this long, slow uphill. And you're just like,
ugh.
Can't you design this differently? Like repave the road or something. Make it slant the wrong way.
That's like the mental game right there, though.
Because you can see slants in the road too.
Right.
You know, it's like, and if it's a really long straightaway, you're like, ugh.
Ugh.
But you just do it. And then thankfully I have friends in New York that were like along the way, and they would tell me where they were going to be. They would text me and say, I'm going to be at mile 22 looking for you. So it's like in those moments you have like
little motivation,
little landmarks to like try and get to.
I think it's so interesting what you said about when you're, I mean, not to get too sentimental on our casual episode, but it is so comparable to hard times in your life, because it's like, you just have to keep putting one foot in front of the other. You don't necessarily even know what's right in front of you. You just got to keep going.
Right.
And once you get to that finish line, though, what a relief. Like, what did you feel for yourself? Did you feel proud?
No, it's like I was by myself. It was like I told my family not to come this year. Like, I burst into tears.
You did.
Because, A, there's this huge sense of relief, but there's a huge sense of accomplishment, too. And then it's like panic because how am I going to walk that next mile to get out of this park? But, you know, you're surrounded by people that are like in the same condition as you. And,
totally.
And it's just awesome. Like they let you, it's for what you just did. It's not much of a reward, but like they let you get on the subway for free. People are congratulating you because you have your medal.
So much camaraderie.
Yeah. It's like, it really is like this huge sense of accomplishment, but I think it's true. You know, every day we are faced with challenges, big or small, and that the last thing you want is to be challenged most of the time. You just want to get through your day. But it's those moments where you're like, if you can put one foot in front of the other, there's something on the other side of that that generally is pretty good because then the challenge is behind you.
What's that quote they say? It's happiness is on the other side of fear. I love that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I kind of like that. Well, I know I'm proud of you, and I hope everyone listening knows what a big accomplishment this is. Thank you for sharing tips on nipple chafing.
Nipple chafing. nip strips. I highly recommend them if you're going to start running.
Nip strips. Wow. I mean, is there any other time in your life you could think of wearing those nip strips?
Well, I mean, if you didn't want to wear a bra somewhere and you thought it might be a little chilly and you didn't want your nipples to like poke out of your shirt.
So they're essentially like a nipple cover, but they stay on
they're
while
sticky,
running.
Yeah.
My nipple covers that I own would definitely fall off during a marathon.
Yeah, these don't.
That would be in a casual moment. Lost my nipple cover. I mean, I guess it's not
as... your nipple if it chafes too much.
I was going to say that would be embarrassing, but then I thought about the shit that's flying out of people's pants and not much tops the hat. So.
Unless you slip in someone's shit and get it on you.
Oh, God, it keeps getting worse. Okay, we got to go before we keep talking about bodily functions.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening. And always remember...
Act casual.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Act Casual on Velvet's Edge.
We'll be back every Friday with your Act Casual topic of the week. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast to ensure that you are the first to hear each episode.
Also, we want to hear from you. What are some things that make you want to scream Act Casual or just topics you think we need to discuss? Email us at actcasual@velvetsedge.com and always remember...
Act Casual!